to follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Happy New Year. We're live in downtown Vegas. Circa Resort and Casino is the spot. Las Vegas, of course, one of the hottest cities in the country every year. For New Year's, busy three-hour program lined up today. Chris Felica in 30 minutes. What does he think of his Canes tonight in action against Ohio State, one of the quarterfinal games that we have in the college football playoffs? Mike Palm in studio in 90 minutes. Steve Wiss, best bets in soccer. Very busy day mañana. And Matt Eumanns on the program, VSiN host. Best bets in college football coming up a little bit later on. How you doing, Pauly? Feeling pretty good?
Yeah, excited for this one tonight. The books did a great job with props, and we'll see if Miami can make it interesting.
I would say that this place is crawling right now, and it, you know, obviously the closer that you get to New Year's, the busier it's going to be. Yesterday, the floor, the mega bar, very busy. Today, the casino is absolutely packed, and we have a bunch of games going on. We'll get into that game coming up in a little bit. Right. By the way, upset brewing out here in Las Vegas. Nebraska is a 14-plus point dog, leading Utah 14-7. The Utes down to a 6.5-point favorite. Doesn't appear to be a fluke so far. Nebraska on two drives getting whatever they want so far on offense in this game. So on the money line, they're already down to plus 185 in the game, and the total's at 63.5.
There's no stops in the Sun Bowl. 28-24 Duke. 79.5 the in-play total, not even halftime. And Michigan and Texas, 10-10.
Now, how about all the money here on game day on the Wolverines?
Yeah.
That drove it all the way down to the lowest I saw was there was a four out there for a second, I believe. I saw that actually flash on the screen. But about 4.5, that number was as high as 7.5. So all that money now on Michigan today, and they got off to a blazing hot start. I texted our buddy, by the way, good job yesterday by Paul Stone on the show, and he really liked Iowa. And they defeated Vanderbilt earlier today, got the outright upset. Tons of money on the Hawkeyes today before close.
Hey, Big Ten runs this sport, man.
Yes, they do.
SEC 2-6 in bowls.
So I text Stone about all this movement on the Michigan-Texas game today. Eight of the top 13 tacklers for Texas decided to sit out of the game, plus opt-outs on offense. And he said clearly more impacted by missing players than Michigan. And he actually did take Michigan at about plus 7.5, plus 7 small a couple of days ago before the number started to move a little bit in favor of the other side there.
And a four-point move on the total with all those guys missing on defense.
And Michigan just scored again.
Oh, boy.
16-10. They're $1.35 now to win the game at DraftKings. 2.5 on the spread, and the total is 61.5. That is a very high-scoring game so far. 10 minutes to play. And change now in the second quarter. At some point, I think that number, the in-play total, is going to get too high. Don't we think? Where it's going to look enticing to maybe bet an under?
But not now.
Some of these games do take on, they're like a snowflake, right? Every game is different, and they take on a life all of their own.
Right. You saw that. You kept hitting the over in-play in the North Texas game, where every possession they scored and San Diego State would answer. The leader in the clubhouse is East Carolina, 4-1 on the money line. Nebraska trying to beat that. Nebraska was as high as plus 450 on the money line. So right now it's 14-7 late in the first quarter in the Las Vegas Bowl.
And look, I get it, the injury to Raiola not playing in the game, and Nebraska, you know, far from a great season again this year. But the whole Utah-Whittingham thing taking off, and I know that the new coach was the guy in waiting the entire time, so they were supposed to be good to go. But they, you know, this number was driven up to, you know, 14.5. Betting it as if, like, you know, no problem here. Utah's going to be able to run away with this game. And the thought is here probably that, you know, Nebraska travels quite well, but Utah very close to Las Vegas. That's actually a drivable distance and a very easy flight. Maybe home field here could go towards the Utes. But so far in this game, Nebraska giving them everything that they want and then some.
Well,
so
I hope the game tonight's competitive. And I think Miami's defense is good enough to do that. You know, Brad Powers made the case for the Miami team total under. I think Fletcher goes over his rushing yards, 55.5. He has to be a big part of the game plan. Beck is as high as $1.80 to throw an interception. There's great props on this game. And the big question also from a total standpoint is Ryan Day taking over with the play calling duties. What does it look like tempo-wise? Is it going to be more take your time, methodical, or are they going to try to go more up-tempo here and see what they do offensively against a great Miami defense that was phenomenal against A&M? But to me, if I'm Miami, I have to get the rushing game going with Fletcher. easier said than done, and I have to force the ball to Tony.
Got to get him involved.
Have to. Take deep shots. You know, he's in there low 60s for his receiving yards prop, which seems kind of low, but you're going against a nasty defense, and maybe it's the same thing that happened last year, that late loss benefits Ohio State and allows them to get their act together and no one touches them. And as Brad Powers said many times on this show, the only team that can beat Ohio State is themselves, that they're so good.
Yeah, and at DraftKings, Ohio State is down to 8.5. Here at Circa, they're 9. At FanDuel and other spots, they are still out there at 9.5, and the total did move to 41 earlier today at a couple of spots, now back down to 40.5. And obviously, that's down a couple of points today in the VSiN Daily. Bill 80 went and checked out the Circa Friday Football Invitational page to see which handicappers might have been involved in this game. Scott Pritchard, Chris Felica, and Chris Massaro are all on Miami plus 9.5. Felica coming up on this show in about 24 minutes from right now. He'll explain why he likes the Hurricanes. Jason Jarvis is actually on the other side, 9.5 with Ohio State, under 42.5. And Edwin Meyer and Carl Sack are also on the under. And their plays had to be posted, obviously. Was it last Friday for these games? So it was 42.5 at the time. So they're obviously in cahoots with the market so far.
How many points do they score?
If they score 17, can they win the game? I think the answer to that is yes.
Yeah, okay.
Now, the key to me is what kind of start will Ohio State's offense get off to? Like, if they get out to a quick 10-0, or maybe they have a couple of impressive drives, and nothing like I'm talking about with Indiana, those long drives that melted clock and they resulted in no points. If it's, you know, and probably going back to last year's Rose Bowl, that's a little unfair too because they killed Oregon. But if they can go on like a 7-play drive, 80 yards, and score a touchdown right away and then maybe back that up with another score, that's going to be probably curtains, I think, for Miami, too much to overcome. But if they can limit the wide receivers for Ohio State out of the gates, and if Bain and company are getting to Sain and that pressure, that D-line is no joke, man, for Miami. And if they can, you know, somehow be a force right away in this game and show the Buckeyes that, you know, we're pretty damn good ourselves and we're not going to go anywhere, they have to be in this game early on. But I do think there's an angle here where maybe alt numbers, like 17-14 final, would not surprise me at all in this game.
You can get great seats for $45.
Are
we going to rethink all of this now? Would they have to be on campus sites?
The same thing with the Rose Bowl tomorrow.
Yeah.
Has that ever been the situation in our lifetime where it's been a problem selling tickets to the Rose Bowl?
No. That, at least you have the horrible weather. But this,
right.
I mean, it goes back to Ohio State fans expect to make a deep run, so saving their money for the other games.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Miami's not traveling well. But it's crazy that you see this, that unbelievable tickets are going for $45.
It really is. I don't know. Maybe they're going to have to – they have to come up with a new process, obviously, because this board is broken for the most part. I mean,
you can go home games in this round, too, which people want.
Yeah. Like Derek Stevens said yesterday, the idea of expanding to 16 teams, I know you don't like the idea, but that actually means that we're going to have more meaningful contests, and because these other bowl games are just – they've become more worthless than ever. And, you know, having interest in these bowls when we were younger, and even not that long ago, actually, it was one of the best times of the entire year to get involved betting-wise.
So if you think that they go under their team total, or it's just 17, how about Ohio State fewest points allowed plus 235? On all four of these games. I'll take my chances that's going to hold up. Miami not to score a touchdown is 7-1 at Caesars.
Well, let me flip it by asking you a question here. Do you think Miami can win the game?
They can win the game.
I think they can.
Yes.
So why not Miami to allow the fewest points?
Ooh, that's 40-1.
There you go.
Well, I think that's, yeah, they would have to win a low-scoring game.
Yeah, I can't see this being 33-30 Miami.
I would agree. And most points scored, Georgia's the favorite. And a lot of them are bunched up.
God, I feel like I'm the Lone Ranger who likes Ole Miss.
Yeah, plus 250, Georgia, most points scored. Buckeyes are 8-1, Indiana's 5, Oregon is plus 450.
Well, how about the stuff from Cignetti now?
Yeah, why is he bringing that up time and time again about it?
Three times today. Alone, yeah. Brought it up, unsolicited evidently, that the travel is really getting to the team. They have not handled it well this week.
Bad practices.
Horrible practices, yeah.
Yeah. Well, that on top of you never see Alabama in this price range. 2008, last time they were catching this many points.
Right.
But it also goes back to it's going to be a flood out there. And Alabama can't run the ball. And what does that mean if it's just going to be it's going to rain all game?
Here's
what
where
could look like.
Yeah, here's where I'm a little bit hesitant to lay it with seven. The Indiana, I haven't heard a single person make the case for Alabama. That's a little scary to me.
Well, that's, yeah. Well, Paul Stone was the first guy to go Texas Tech yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Oregon's,
that's true.
Oregon's very popular.
Have you bet this game?
Rose Bowl?
Yeah.
I'm taking Bama.
Yeah.
I don't understand why he keeps, there must be something to it that he's bringing it up three times about bad practices and where we didn't handle the travel well and the distractions with L.A.
Right.
Okay.
Maybe it means nothing.
Well.
But, again, all I've heard the entire time leading up this game is Indiana, Indiana, Indiana.
Yeah.
And it was six and a half up to seven, well, so.
I don't mind if Jeremiah Smith is right, saying that we're going to see Indiana again. And that'll be the championship game.
Yeah, I'd sign up for that.
I'd like to see that, too.
You can
bet that. You can bet that against the field. You can say they're minus $2. You can have Ohio State and Indiana or the field.
And that matchup is $2?
No, that they win it.
Oh, I see.
You get those. You get the two big boys. There's also a Big Ten against the field, too.
All right, we'll update the NBA games in action, dive into NFL news. We'll give you some second-half numbers, including one of the best teams in the league after halftime. Details on that next year. And follow the money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't want you to know is you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
Is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Arch Manning with a beautiful 17-yard touchdown pass. Texas on the board again. And PAT pending here. If it's good, we're tied at 17 apiece. And it is 7:41 to play now before halftime. And, well, this game has turned into an absolute shootout. And the in-play total, 67.5. And Texas now favored in the game at minus 150. I'll tell you, these New Year's Day and New Year's Eve games, Paulie, that start super early, some of those on the East Coast, that throw a little bit of a wrench into the handicap overall because, like today, for example, in the NBA, the Warriors played a 10 a.m. body clock time against Charlotte. Now, they won. They didn't cover. They had a chance to, obviously. It came down to the wire, but the game went flying over the total, and Curry was awesome again, and the Hornets player stepped up and hit a, you know, like Ball was great. Knepel did it again with his threes. But these early times throw me for a little bit of a loop sometimes. And I'll give you an example. Like the Timberwolves, they're such a tricky team to figure out. They play to their level of competition, taking on a bad Hawks team today. Timberwolves were bet up to a 6-point favorite. They trail at halftime 70-49. They're getting run out against this Hawks team that plays no defense.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
especially with Trae Young back.
Yeah, right. So the Hawks have been, you know, terrible defensively. And the Wolves in the second half, they're the third highest scoring team in the NBA, 59.8 points per game in the second half. They only give up 55.6. The Hawks in the second half, they allow 60.2. So I thought the target here in this game was going to be Wolves' second half team total over. They're shooting 37% in the game, 5 of 19 from downtown. That's it. They're getting out rebounded, crushed with assists, 23-9 overall. I was thinking, okay, they could come back, start shooting the ball a little bit better, and go over their team total based on how good they are and how bad the Hawks are at allowing points in the second half. It's 60. It's like 65.5 for the second half total. Books just, they're going to make a huge run. They're favored by 10 points now in the second half, 10.5 points in the second half overall. But so I wanted to bet that, but that number is a little bit too high in my opinion.
They can have some stinkers, and there are fourth quarter issues as well. Sometimes you don't have it. And Atlanta can get the best of us, and they didn't have it today.
Mm-hmm.
So it certainly a surprise is how bad Atlanta is in this funk. that they're taking out Minnesota. Spurs and Knicks is your big one tonight. The rematch after the final of the NBA Cup. The Knicks are playing great ball, and the Spurs were the toast of the town after what they did back-to-back games against the Thunder. And then guess what? They lose two in a row now.
Mm-hmm.
And not to mention, the Cavs are starting to play well as they blew a 17-point lead in the fourth quarter at the Garden. They won at San Antonio, and now they're killing the Suns right now, up 20 at home. But this is where you have a couple guys out, you tinker with the lineup, you start reading your own press clippings, you're a huge favorite and lose at home to Utah and can't get a stop, and then you get beat by double digits at home against the Cavs. So it's a big game here for the Spurs to get their act together and also show that they can, number one, get revenge, and two, you don't want to have a three-game losing streak.
Yeah, I like them tonight. The Spurs, that is. The market likes them, too. They're up to three. Total 234. I think the total might be a little bit too low. So the Knicks are on this mini three-game winning streak. They lost to the Wolves. Brunson didn't play. But the last four games with Brunson, all wins. Look at these, some of these scores. 132 to 125, 126 to 124, 128 to 125, and 130 to 125. In those games, Brunson, his points, 47, 34 twice, and 28. And from he's taking a lot of threes. He's making a lot of threes. 6 of 13, 6 of 12, 4 of 11, 5 of 10. But here's my play. It is San Antonio money line in the first quarter. I put this on the VSiN picks page earlier today on the website. The Spurs in the first quarter are 24-8 ATS, 11-3 at home. They're also 22-10 ATS in the first half. The Knicks on the flip side are 13-19 on the year ATS first quarter. They're slow starters and 4-11 ATS on the road. I laid $1.25 with the Spurs on the money line in the first quarter in this game. Plus, you do have a little bit of revenge from the NBA Cup title game.
What a run. 12-2 in their last 14. Brunson didn't play in Minnesota, as you mentioned, and the Sixer game was a horrific spot on a back-to-back after they won Tuesday out here in the Cup. Had to go back. He had a road game at Indiana, came down to the final possession, then the home game against Philly. And I certainly see a lot of points as both teams are top six in NBA offensive efficiency numbers.
Yeah. I was texting our buddy Doug Kazarian earlier today, and he was making a case for the Magic in this game against where he thinks the Pacers are absolutely awful and pretty much incapable of putting together four good quarters in a row. The Magic are on top 68-66 at halftime. Super high-scoring game between these two teams. They're laying 2.5 in the second half. The Pacers are the fifth lowest scoring team in the league in the second half, and they allow the seventh most points. And to his point, if the Magic, check that, if the Pacers are just a bad team and they can't play four good quarters in a row, then I think maybe the Magic laying 2.5 in the second half might be a decent play here. Not that the Magic have been any great, you know, shakes without Franz Wagner in this stretch, but I think that's maybe a palatable number here in the second half. And again, this is like to my point of West Coast teams playing early. The Suns have been getting buried the entire time against the Cavaliers, as you mentioned. They're down by 12 right now.
Mini run here, yep.
Yeah, 7 minutes to go way it looks before halftime. In-game total is 236.5, and they're catching 11.5. The Cavaliers in the second half, and I'm doing this because now these games, we never have games during the show in the NBA, so they're approaching halftime, where we're going to have second half numbers. The Cavaliers averaged the second most points in the league in the second half at 62. Right around 62. They allow 57. Phoenix only scores 56 points in the second half per game. So the Cavaliers have been a super high scoring. They're only behind Denver in this incredible offense with Joker when he, you know, before the injury, obviously.
What happens tonight? 6.5 point dogs in Toronto. And the on-off numbers are startling the last couple of years and what this guy means to the team.
I couldn't take Denver.
Nope. And I also don't know what to do with the total either because this team is so good offensively. And then their issues defensively, the number one team in offensive efficiency, 124 points per 100 possessions.
Yeah. Incredible. Would you lean under, though, without him in this game?
They are bad defensively, and also Toronto can score. But that was, you know, it also might be a blowout, too, when they call off the dogs. That's tough. I'm surprised that, with that total, I'm also surprised the Bulls are favored without Giddey because the Pelicans are playing better. That one's surprising to me, that the Bulls are home favorites against the Pelicans because Giddey makes everything go, and the total's 246.5.
Well, it's a Bulls game, so it's going to be off the charts with the total there. I think some Pelicans player props. Sadiq Bey's been awesome lately with some of his props. but the inconsistencies across the board makes it kind of a little bit difficult to track down, which Murphy can be really good, obviously. And then the Thunder are laying 15.5 tonight against the Blazers. You want to call this a revenge game? The first loss of the year was against Portland.
Yep.
On the road in that back-to-back when they sat a bunch of guys and they had a huge lead and they blew it.
Yeah, still struggling, though. They couldn't put away Atlanta. Couldn't cover against Atlanta the other night. And they're a little lackadaisical defensively. They've dipped a little bit. Now they're down to 105 points per 100 possessions. Remember, that was 103. So they're slipping a little bit defensively. But I don't mind the revenge angles. You mentioned what happened earlier in the season in that one.
Okay, so I bet the Spurs, like I said. Do you have any official bets in the NBA?
No, not tonight.
How about NHL?
Colorado at home.
You know what to do here, right?
Yep, 15-1 run. Go in the first 10 at home.
I also,
if you want a better price, you can go first five. They are huge favorites.
Oh, my God.
Did it get to $4? $360?
I saw $360
earlier today. Okay.
Let me check the price here at Circa because they have a better number on those goal in the first 10 than you're going to find other spots. I'm also like the goal in the 1.5 goals in the first period over is minus 135 in this game. With this machine that we're watching here,
they could come out. I think they score in the first 5 minutes tonight and put it on St. Louis. They're 355 at DraftKings.
Yeah.
$1.20 on the puck line.
They are. So that's. It's been a common number here from Jeff Davis, who runs the hockey numbers at Circa. It's $1.60 if you have access to Circa Sports for a goal in the first 10. I think that's like 20 to 40 cents cheaper than other books.
Yes. And they're also playing games with this Columbus game where they're like $1.10, $1.20. They're $1.18 at home against the Devils. And Jonathan Davis has those incredible numbers. When they're at home and they're favored, they win. When they're underdogs, they lose and usually get blasted. So $1.20 against the Devils, that comes up at 4 o'clock as well.
Utah tied up Nebraska, 14 apiece out here in Las Vegas, 10 minutes to go in the second quarter. In-play total now 63.5. Utah 7.5 for the game, minus money at FanDuel, and minus 460 to win. Nebraska to win it outright is plus 320. ASU and Duke at halftime, 28-24. Blue Devils and Michigan, Texas still 17 apiece.
What's the total? What's the total in the Arizona State?
79.5.
70 stops in that game.
Oh.
Teams getting whatever they want.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it's like North Texas all over again. Start the new year off as a better with the VSiN Pro subscription. Final week to save 50% off the regular monthly price with our holiday special. Get it through May 1st, just $79. Every best bet, every host, every guest. The website's on fire. Everything you want, every bowl preview, all the props, the Mackin and Trends as well. NBA, Hoops, Peterson's up there as well. AI-powered prop tools, 24/7 video. Start the new year with an edge. VSiN.com/subscribe. Get it now. VSiN.com/subscribe.
The Bear, Chris Felica, on the program next. He went to Miami. He's a fan, but he's been spot on with his team for two straight years. Is the line disrespectful to the Hurricanes? We'll ask him coming up next here on VSiN.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
College football time. We head out to the Progressive guest line. Chris the Bear Felica joins the program. Bear Bets Podcast, Fox Sports as well. Happy New Year, Bear. Thanks for the time today. How are you?
Of course. Happy New Year to you guys as well. Happy to be on here. Great. Today, tomorrow, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, five awesome days of football, man.
What a week. Yes. And you're not hiding it here. You went to Miami and you have the Hurricanes Adidas jersey on the way, it looks, huh?
Yeah, I got the long sleeve on. I'm not hiding. I went there. I worked with the team back when Mario actually was a player. He and I crossed over a couple of years. So yeah, but proud. I'll admit it. I'm excited for this game. This is the most excited I've been about a Miami game since 2017 when I was with Game Day, and Game Day did the show where Notre Dame was down there. Notre Dame was undefeated at the time, and Miami won big. And it's the biggest game that Miami has been involved in since that 2003 Fiesta Bowl that they lost to Ohio State. So it's been a long time coming, and I feel really good about the trajectory of the team, win or lose tonight.
What do you make of the market right now at DraftKings? Down to 8.5 now the Buckeyes are here at Circa 9. Other spots still sitting at 9.5, but what are your thoughts overall on that number?
Yeah, I took Miami earlier. I took Miami in a look-ahead line at 8.5, thinking that it was going to come down right away. And I was shocked when we saw some 9s and 9.5s. I think the line, and I've been getting a lot of Shockingly, people on social media, especially the Ohio State fans, disagreeing with my take that I thought the number was a little bit disrespectful towards Miami. Because think back to the earlier part of the year when we were having the conversation, is it Ohio State or is it Miami that's the best team in the country? And Miami slipped up a couple times, and then Ohio State wound up slipping up to Indiana. So it's probably Indiana that's the best team in the country. And I don't think people really want to admit that right now, but I think Miami defensively can do some things that's going to give Ohio State some trouble. I would expect a lot more Julian Sain throwing tonight against the Miami defense with Ryan Day now stepping in with Brian Hartline gone. I think you're going to see a little bit more tempo. But I also think that opens up some potential for Miami for that defensive line to kind of take over as well. So I don't see this game as a blowout. Ohio State's played two playoff caliber teams in Texas and Indiana. They scored, 14 and 10 points those two games? So I think it's going to be a struggle for Ohio State to get to 21, 24 points. And if Miami can keep them to around 20, I think they're in with a real good chance to win.
Okay, take me through the offense. And Fletcher was a beast against A&M, and he had so many big runs. He's in the low 50s for his rushing yards prop. But you want to get Fletcher going early, or you want to try to get it to Tony?
I think that you need to get Fletcher going, and I actually would think that Matt Patricia and that Ohio State defense, they're going to take away Tony. It's going to be on Lofton or C.J. Daniels or Trader or Moore. It's going to be on someone else, Bauman from Miami. I think they can be creative. I think if you watch that Texas A&M game, I think remember the play where Tony was kind of looking for that throwback to Beck, and Beck was wide open. I wouldn't be surprised if Shannon Dawson maybe goes back and does that, because they're going to need something like that in order to sustain drives tonight. I don't think they're going to be able to run the ball at ease like they did against A&M. I think the Ohio State linebackers are much better. But I think if Carson Beck plays like the Carson Beck we saw against Notre Dame earlier in the year, USF earlier in the year, and Florida State earlier in the year, at Pitt in the final game of the regular season that they had at, if they get that Beck, they're going to be okay. But if they don't, if they get the Beck that we saw at Louisville and SMU and turn the ball over, then they're going to be in trouble. So I just think that Shannon Dawson, they have to trust this guy tonight. Indoors, clean environment. Give your quarterback an opportunity to win some games. A guy that's had, 40-somewhat starts in college football.
No, I know it's a low total, and it's actually come down from 42.5 to where it's at right now, and all these are key numbers. I almost want to attack it with alt-unders, like let's say under 31.5 and hope to get out of there with like a 17-14 game. This is a good tweet from Matthew. He sees a prop for this game tonight. Either team to score 30 points. The no is only a -166. That feels like almost a bargain, doesn't it?
Unless you're getting to overtime, I don't know how you're getting 30 points with either one of these teams. It's going to take a couple of non-offensive scores, overtime, a bunch of big plays. Is that on either like DraftKings or FanDuel?
Yeah,
I'm going to have to hop on.
I'm going to follow up right now and ask him where it's at. Hopefully, we can get an answer in the next couple of minutes or so.
Yeah, the one prop I did play in this game, I played Ohio State under 24.5. Like outlining the reasons why. And I played Miami to have the first sack in the game. It was +120 at DraftKings. And again, I think with the Miami defensive line, I think you're going to have a lot more passing attempts from Ohio State. I think you're going to have more opportunities, at least early on. And I would expect Miami to kind of establish the run a little bit more and a lot more quick hitting passes. But Carson Beck doesn't really hold the ball. So those were the two props that I did like tonight.
That's excellent. You're a mover and a shaker. You talk to everyone. You can get great seats to this game for $45. Do you think we could go to home games, campus sites for the quarters in the future?
I would hope so. I think maybe that's one of the things if they do expand to 16, and I am not a fan of expanding to 16. I think 12 is already pushing the limit, but I think that's one of the things. If you could get a second round or a quarterfinal game on home campuses, that would take away a lot of travel for fans. It would give even an added incentive, a bigger bonus for a regular season conference title or being one of the best teams in the regular season. I would love that. I love it. Just gives a better playoff type atmosphere. But again, you're going to have a drastic change. I think you're going to have to go to 16 or you're going to have to convince these bowl games. Maybe something that's been floated out there is having these bowl games like the first game of the year, and kind of maybe bowls recruiting teams to play an opening game, and maybe you get the fans out there, come to Miami for the Orange Bowl first game of the year, come to Dallas for the Cotton Bowl first game of the year, and maybe that's a way to keep these big bowls involved, because I think that will be ultimately the biggest sticking point, because these bowls won't go away quietly.
By the way, when you popped on like 7-8 minutes ago, the number I think was still 9 here at Circa. Look what happened here. Ohio State's down to 7.5.
Yeah, it's the number 9.5 I thought was just ridiculous, and I think now you're seeing a lot of the late money. Who knows if you want to? It does feel like it's a little bit of the pros versus Joes here in looking at some of the bet splits that you've seen out there with the number of tickets on Ohio State minus the 9.5. And then it seems like most people in the Friday Football Invitational are on Miami plus the points. A lot of the guests that both you and other shows have had on this week on VSiN seem to be leaning towards Miami plus the points as well. So we'll see what side is right. Hopefully the dog is live here to win outright.
You have an opinion on the Orange Bowl and Oregon up to 2.5.
I do. I played Oregon early on at a different number. So I can't lay or suggest laying 2.5 with Oregon now. I would look at two other props in this game. I would look at the Texas Tech team total under 24.5. I'm not sure their offense is going to be built to go up and down the field on a good Oregon defense that I think that we'll see play a lot better after kind of mailing in the fourth quarter against James Madison. I think Dan Lanning has been very vocal about that, and I think they will be highly motivated to play a lot better. I don't think Oregon's going to score a bunch of points either, so maybe the under for the game is something you can look at, but I do think the Texas Tech team total under, and then take a look at Kenyon Sadiq, anytime touchdown scorer as well for Oregon, the big tight end. He is a matchup nightmare, and I think he could give that Tech defense some problems.
Very good. Now, what do you make of this? And now with various juice, but at FanDuel anyway, Indiana's -7.5, -102, Alabama +7.5, -120. Evidently today to the media, Kurt Cignetti 3 different times said, travel really bad this week, and our practices have been terrible. Should you put any stock into that?
I think I do. I mean, look, I've been all over traveling all over the place myself, and travel has been bad, but I think the weather is going to be a factor in this game. I think if it does rain, like it's being called for, I think that helps Indiana, because I think they can run the ball a lot better than Alabama can. You know, Alabama, they kind of feel like, I think they're playing with house money, and they're building up the whole, we no one thought we'd be here, and yet you're Alabama. You're not the plucky underdog. Don't worry. You're Alabama. I could see this game getting out of hand. I could see Indiana winning this game big. Or I could see maybe just that Alabama secondary making life a little bit more miserable on Mendoza. I did not play either side just because I'm a little unsure on exactly how bad the weather is going to be and how it's going to manifest. I did play Indiana to record the first sack in the game. That was -140 at DraftKings when I played it. Again, same thing. Alabama has no running game whatsoever. It's going to be Ty Simpson dropping back to throw early and often. I know Indiana had the injury on the defensive line that will affect their sack totals, but the Alabama offensive line has been very disappointing this year. And I know even in that Oklahoma game early on, they struggled to protect Simpson. So my best bet in that game was the Indiana to record the first sack.
Very good. Bear, love talking to you, man. Happy New Year, and go Canes.
Absolutely. Let's do it again, hopefully after a Miami win.
That'd be great.
Good luck.
There you go. Chris Felica on the Progressive Guest Line, Bear Betts Podcast, also with Fox Sports. I don't have an answer yet to where that one prop is at, but other people listening to the show right now, including JD in Florida and others chiming in with some other props that they're seeing. We got to get to this after win-lose because phenomenal props on the game tonight.
Yeah, and we can pick around largest margin of victory, too. This will be the first time in 20 years the weather can impact the Rose Bowl.
Yeah. I'll huff and I'll puff and I'll blow your house down. Wait until you hear the latest jackpot here in Las Vegas, downtown. Unbelievable news. Paulie details next.
Win Some, Lose Some is sponsored by The Sharp Plays. Were you a winner last night?
Wow, winning.
Or was it a rough one?
Well, they can't all be winners, can they?
Loser! You're a loser!
Pauly Howard recaps the night in sports betting in Win Some, Lose Some.
College football, Illinois from 7 down to 2.5. They get the walk-off field goal to beat Tennessee. Celtics Jazz over 240.5 up to 244.5. Pistons plus 1 to minus 2.5. Pounded the Lakers. Clippers, another easy win. Won by 40.
God, the writing was on the wall for that game.
Yeah, team total we got there. 226 down to 218.5. It fell 221, the under hit. Nevada, Colorado State under. 147.5 down to 140, a winner. Louisville, 4.5 up to 8 in college hoops, also a winner. Premier League yesterday, Man U, Wolverhampton, draw 4-1. Wolverhampton with only their third point of the season. Horrible draw for Man U. Chelsea draw, plus 330. West Ham draw, plus 260. Everton, money line, plus 350. Subscribe, be part of the team, VSiN.com. Our radio and podcast friends, you always want to see these tweets and videos. At Pauly Does Vegas on Instagram. Send them in, we'll put you on. Thanks for everyone sending them in. You're very active on IG. Yesterday here at Circa, Happy New Year. This gentleman playing Huff and Puff with the wolf comes down and he got. Now, I don't know if this is the second spin or how this works. He's betting $20 a push and you see he gets the spin. He got the bonus because he gets the saws, three of them, and then it spins and up top it says big jackpot, big money jackpot. And that was $454,000. I don't know if it's one spin or two or if it comes down where sometimes the wolf can just appear on the game and go, I'm in, right?
And is that a jackpot there?
And you get the chance to spin.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's different. I've only played it a few times, but it's a riot. And this guy betting $20 a push gets the spin and then gets it up top for $454,000.
We'll have to ask Mike Palm about this when he comes on the show in about 45 minutes. Will Case here at Circa responded to this and said, always love to see one of our regular customers hit a jackpot.
Oh, is that what? Okay.
Yeah, so good. Maybe he dances around, Circa and the D all the time.
How about some house porn? It's been a while. And house porn from a listener. How about a farmhouse in Italy? Look at this place. You can have it for $198,000. All that room?
How much work would it need?
That's like right out of The Godfather Part 2.
No, no question.
Look at that. Pool. Beautiful villa. Spots there around town. Picturesque.
Like, does it need like $200,000-$300,000 in renovations? Or because it's going to need something, I'm guessing. It's probably been there since the 1600s. But yeah, sign me up for that right now. By the way, I looked at a list today of best New Year's Eve movies all time. The Godfather 2 actually came up, obviously. Big scene in there.
Yeah, right.
It was on, I think, Bazaar Magazine. I assumed I knew the number one answer. They never even included Trading Places.
Really?
Come on. Name a better New Year's Eve movie than Trading Places. You can't do it. It's not even on the list.
Fredo, it was you. Unbelievable. Come on. How about this guy? Look at the dog. This is a lose-some. He's a bulldog. He goes under the Christmas tree. There's ornaments everywhere. He's knocking stuff down. And he's just rolling in the tree.
He's rolling in the broken ornaments.
Yeah, yeah. They're laughing at him. I think he's okay. But he's just, watch at the end. Okay, shake it off. I'm good. And they on about his business. Little pork chop.
Oh, my God. Yeah,
yeah.
I'm kidding.
Yeah, he gets a workout with the knife and fork. Oh, it's incredible. Send that to me, Luke. I'll put that up later. Damn. One lose some Louisiana Tech from 7 up to 10.5. It fell 9. They kicked the field goal late in college football. Sharp Plays does a phenomenal job. Jeff and the crew been at it since 2011. We follow the money since day one. Look for the Mr. Poison tweets, and the Robin Hood plays are fantastic as well. He's donated $22,000 to charity the last 3 years. Advanced AI, proven insider sources, active across all sports. Look for all the big soccer card tomorrow. He's active with that. Documented results, public logs, transparent receipts, sharpplays.com. Monitored by the books, trusted by pros. Stay ahead of the line. Visit sharpplays.com. Give me the good stuff. Who's going to get blown out? Largest margin of victory. If you have your concerns about Texas Tech, I don't, but Oregon's 7-1. Buckeyes are plus 235.
I was going to say, do you see a number? Like, what's that number? Biggest margin of victory over or under.
Yeah, okay. Somebody has that, but I haven't.
I'm sure it's out there, like 27.5 or whatever.
Yeah. Indiana's 4-1. Georgia's 3-1.
Yeah, boy, that's another one, too. Name me some person you've heard make the case for. I like Ole Miss. maybe that's my heart talking here, because I really want to have that team give Lane Kiffin the middle finger.
Yeah, be great. If they can turn the tables on Georgia, it's 20-1. I mean, they got whatever they wanted in the first meeting.
Until
the fourth quarter.
How about Bama, Indiana, lowest scoring game? If the rain's going to play a factor.
Yeah, that's one of the favorites.
Is it?
Not good enough. Okay. Highest scoring game is 4-1. How about fewest points allowed? Indiana's 4-1. One-dimensional Alabama. Can't throw in the rain. Grind it out. Hoosiers 4-1 there. I mentioned earlier Ohio State plus 235. That's fewest points allowed.
Give me, what's Texas Tech to allow the fewest points?
14-1.
Well, what if their defense is the real deal?
It is.
And all this talk about soft schedule is just smoke.
Okay, let's address that. I think BYU's good. And those are men on that team. And they pushed them around in both games and whooped their ass.
They went to Utah and killed them.
Who does that?
Nobody.
That's the other thing. They destroyed Utah. And their only loss is with a backup quarterback.
Right.
And they should have won that game. So they're number one in the country, outscoring opponents in the first half. Oregon's number two. They're 12-1 ATS. But it comes down to the same thing. It always comes back to this. No one has kicked more field goals inside the red zone than the Red Raiders. They got to punch it in. And if they turn them over and Rodriguez has a big game, they got to capitalize. And what would concern me if I'm an Oregon fan is how they performed offensively when they went against three top 15 defenses. They didn't do a good job against Washington. They didn't move it against Iowa, although it was a downpour in that game.
Penn State, they never really impressed me.
That's true.
That much.
That's true.
So I will say, Paul, I don't know if it gets to three, but I'm going to say there's a chance because the Ducks are 2.5 minus 115 here at Circa, minus 114 at FanDuel. So the money is coming in on the Ducks still at 2.5, but will books ever offer a three? My guess is if it does go to three at some point, it's going to vanish. You need to be ready to fire like right now if that's what you're hoping to get. It probably won't last very long.
Now, what was the prop you said again?
Okay, so I'm trying to get confirmation on this from Matthew. It's at DraftKings. He just responded. You can always get in touch with the show. On X is the best spot live. When we're on the air here, at VSiN Live at Mitch Moss Radio at Paulie Howard. And that is, will either team score 30 points? The no is minus 166, Miami, Ohio State. As the Bear was saying 20 minutes ago, not even, that's going to take a couple of defensive, turnovers that either will result in a touchdown or set up the offense in great field position with a chance. Because do you see either team consistently putting together drive after drive where they're going to go down and score touchdowns against these defenses? And based on that, Paulie, here's another one. The Hard Rock, they're in a bunch of states. Under game special for this tonight, Miami and Ohio State, total offensive yards combined, 683.5. These two teams going to touch 700 yards of offense? Maybe Ohio State's been sleeping here the entire year on purpose. That narrative's going to kick into play here, and Ryan Day taking over, and we'll see the team that dominated last year in the playoffs. Maybe that team kicks in tonight. You're like, oh, where have they been all year long?
Probably, yeah. I like what Bear said, though, too. If I get good Carson Beck, and he was so good in those big matchups early on. He's $1.80 to throw an interception. I mean, come on, who's that? Is that Duke long touchdown inside the 10?
There's nothing happening in this game.
There was a big turnover. They had a big play to start Arizona State. Now the Dukies on a run. Okay. But if he's clean and he plays well, but to me it's about I would love to get no score in the first 5 minutes of the game.
So would I, yeah.
But they're probably going to get you with the juice there. But I think you come out and establish Fletcher because it was so just awesome against A&M and put you in third and manageable too.
So Hard Rock also has, and you can probably find this in a bunch of other books as well, total offensive touchdowns in this game tonight, 5.5. So, again, the total's at 40.5. Six touchdowns goes over on its own. So we're just going to have an offensive explosion. That's not even including field goals. You see what I'm saying? Like that, if you bet that over, you have to take alternate numbers on the total tonight as well. You just have to. Because I'm guessing we're going to get at least a couple of field goal attempts in the game regardless of how many touchdowns are going to be scored.
I think Friday with us, Brad Power said he'd make Ohio State 2.5 or 3 against Georgia.
Yeah.
FanDuel has 5.5 right now.
I noticed that.
Got the hypotheticals up. All the semifinal, every possible matchup's up there. Indiana 3.5 against Texas Tech. Miami 1.5 against Ole Miss. Georgia 3.5 against Miami. Good job.
And up next, we also have point spreads and totals to bet on for every matchup in the wild card round of the NFL playoffs. And I have to say, I was startled at this number. We'll run them down for you coming up on Follow the Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.